So. All right, we'll do a quick chazara and we'll get started. It's been a long time, so welcome to all of us. We're in Perek Tesvav, and until now, I guess what we could the way that we could be misakin the last few prakim, we've seen a few battles that Shaul has gone out against, and this is really just following the theme of. At the beginning, Shaul starts off with great potential and shows great leadership and has been attacking a lot of things that happened throughout Sefer Shoftim, but faster than not, things take a spiral for the worst. He obviously avoids the first instructions which Shmuel told him, is to wait by the Gilgal, wait for me for those 3 days, or at the end of 7 days, I don't recall, and Shaul doesn't wait. He's pressured by the people, and that's a theme which we find a lot. Is he's pressured by the people to conform, and we know that Malchus is all about representing not only the people, but it's about representing Ratzon Hashem. That's what Shmuel tries to give over to the king and give over to the people, but Shaul is not able to handle that. After we see that first failure, we see that Shaul, because he has an army, he has 600 soldiers, and miraculously, him and Yonatan are able to rally up the soldiers against the 30,000 chariots of the Plishtim, and miraculously just win that war. That's what we saw the last time we were together. The Psukim have like an ending over here that Shaul continued to fight against the Plishtim all of his life, and we asked how that fits exactly with Shmuel, because by Shmuel the description is that the Plishtim weren't a problem in Shmuel's life, so we explained that the beginning of Shmuel's life they weren't a problem, at the end of Shmuel's life they were already a problem when he was less of a leader. And that's what we saw. We saw obviously Shmuel already hinting to the fact that the Malchus is not going to stay with Shaul. And even after all of that, Shaul still feels a responsibility to go out and to fight the war. And they're miraculously saved. The last Nakuda is the story with Yonatan. How, remember the story with the Shvua that Shaul told the people that they're not allowed to, that they're supposed to be fasting in order so they could finish off the enemy, and Yonatan doesn't hear that commandment, and what does he do? He takes from the Yaros Dvash, he takes from the honey, he tastes a little bit, and his eyes get all red, and then he realizes that he's gone against the Shvua, and almost like the story in Shoftim, we see that Shaul basically is makabel upon himself the din. He says, okay, Yonatan, that's it. You're gonna have to be killed. And then the nation stands up and they're like, Shaul, you're not killing Yonatan. Like, Yonatan won the war for us. This is crazy. We'll be Matir the Neder somehow. And they ended up being Matir the Neder. And that's basically where we left off last time. Yeah.
Is there anything to say with, like, his consistent personality, at least giving it to the people this time and not killing his son?
I'm saying I think that was the Nakuda I was trying to emphasize, and we'll see this a little bit more, is that Shaul is constantly giving in to the people's Ratzon, which is important sometimes to be, you know, to not be deaf to the social needs, but on the other hand, Lishmoa Bidvar Hashem, we're going to see that emphasized obviously today in this in today's parak. So let's get started. A little bit of a long parak, but we'll try to see how far we can get. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, Osi shalach Adonai l'mashchecha, l'melech al amo al Yisrael, v'atashma l'kol divrei Adonai. Okay, as if nothing happened, Shmuel comes with another commandment to Shaul. So odd, right? Shaul was told that he's not going to be king anymore, and although that's the case, Shmuel comes with another tzivoy. And the tzivoy is the tzivoy to destroy Amalek. Ko amar Adonai tzivoos, pakadti es asher asa Amalek li Yisrael asher sam lo baderech ba'aloso mi Mitzrayim. I've remembered what Amalek did And why is Amalek coming up right now? Because we know that the Am Yisrael, right, the Rambam says that B'knisa La'aretz, and when Am Yisrael enters the land, there are three mitzvahs that they have to comply with, which is Som Tassim Alech HaMelech, getting a king, building a Beis HaMikdash, getting rid of Zecher Amalek, whatever order that is. So we've done, obviously, the first one. Now we're up to the second one, is getting rid of Amalek. So here comes the Tzivoy to get rid of Amalek. Atah Alech V'Yikisa Es Amalek, V'Charamtem Es Kol Asher Lo, V'Lo Tachmol Alav. Destroy them, just like it says in the Torah. Don't have any Rachmanos. Destroy everything that they own, their property. Destroy everyone, even the youngest, right? The babies, the mothers, mishor v'ad seh, all of the animals, migamal v'ad chamor. We're not going to get into the whole moral issue that arises from this parsha, but just to give it a little bit of a sense as to how it's shayach to this perek, is there is this moral. I wouldn't call it a moral issue, but it's something that any human should feel like a little bit uncomfortable with this notion of just destroying a nation. In 2020, we would call that ethnic cleansing, right? Or people would genocide, or people would, right? People would consider it like another Holocaust to these people. So what did they do? We're not going to speak about that, but it seems like there is this godly message. Which we need to remind ourselves of, which is that God and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all morality. And essentially, beyond all of the explanations, we have to be able to be makabel the concept that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it's immoral to do X, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do Y, so we have to believe that he felt that was moral. But we're going to see why it's significant that Shmuel comes back and he says you have to kill every single living being. Vayishama Shaul Esa'am, Vafkei B'Tla'im Masayim Elef Ragli. How does he count the people? He counts them through the Tla'im, through these sheep. Okay, we're going to see this is an issue that comes up in Sefer Shmuel a few times, right? The Pkidat Ha'am, right? We don't count the Jewish people. We count them with a Machtzis HaShekel. Over here, Shaul counts them with a Taleh, with a sheep. Or some of the Mefarshim explained that was just the place, that it was called Tla'im, the place. Either way, he counts the people, and there's 200,000 people, right? Let's remember, the last war that Shaul went out against, right? How many people did he have at the end? He had 600 people. So it sounds like that Shaul was charismatic enough to get everyone together. V'asiris alafim es ish Yehuda, 10,000 from Yehuda. V'evo Shaul ad ir Amalek. Vayarev Banacha, where is Ir Amalek? The Mefarshim point out that Ir Amalek is in the area of Arad, right? Arad today is also a modern city, which is in the Negev, right? And that's where Amalek usually was, although that Amalek were like Bedouins in the sense that they would really move around mostly. There was Kanirat Kufa in this time period in which they had a capital city, which was Arad. And they go and they fight. Shaul goes and he speaks to the Keni. Who's the Keni, Chevra? Anyone remember who the Keni was? Right, the families of Yisrael. Where else do the Keni? Where else do they come up? In Shoftim we spoke about them. In Yoshua we spoke about them. Right, that they were. Where else were the Keni? Where were they living also? The Ir Tamarim. Where's the Ir Tamarim? Yericho, right? So Kanirat, parts of Yisro's family ended up, I guess, in the wrong neighborhood, right? This isn't the best neighborhood to find yourself in. And Shaul recognizes that and he says, I don't want to kill you, so I'm going to spare you because of the great chesed that your grandfather did for us. Kenny got out of there quick. Vayach Shaul es Amalek mechavila boacha shur asher al pnei Mitzrayim vaitpos es agag melech Amalek chai. So he destroys everyone. He kills everyone. Right? Huh?
I always said like they didn't have weapons.
from the Plishtim, but after the war with the Plishtim, Kanire, that they were able to have 200,000, maybe even armed soldiers. Right? If there was 30,000 chariots, they probably came with weapons. But he's makah them a strong makah. And it says Vayiposes Agag Melech Amalek Chai. Right, he takes Amalek alive. He takes Agag alive, the king. But everyone else he kills. Now, is there anything wrong with taking Agag alive?
Yes.
Let's think about this for a second. At this point, you could concur about in other wars that we've seen that the king was always taken last to be killed last. So at this point, there isn't really an issue. In Sefer Yehoshua, we see that a lot, right? In Sefer Shoftim, we see that a lot. The king is always left over last. Vayachmo, but here's the problem. Vayachmo shol v'am al agag v'al meitav hatzon v'al bakar v'al mishnim v'al akarim v'al kol hatov v'lo avu hecharimam. Then there was the next stage. Okay, so he left over Agag. But he also left over all of these beautiful animals, all of these beautiful cattle, all of these different things, all of Valkol Hatov, all of these, you know, riches. V'lo avu
hacharimam. I think the issue is the fact that it's Vayachmol more than anything else.
So what does Vayachmol mean, actually? Right, so that's the way that we generally, that's Chemla, usually the way that we translate chemla is mercy or pity, but it's clearly not that, because he just destroyed an entire people. He literally killed women with their children, but he has chemla on the king. Over here, it can't mean, Vayachmol can't mean that it was some sort of moral, you know, decision, right? It has to be something else. So translating that word is actually going to be very important for defining what exactly happened here.
It just means that he kept them alive.
So what was the reason? Vayachmol. V'chol ha'malacha nimzeva v'nameis osa hecharimu. So Hashem comes and says bad things. Vayidvar Adonai el Shmuel leimor, nichamti ki himlachti Yeshua lemelech. I've totally given up my decision. I can't believe that I made Shaul king. Kisha macharai v'svarai lo yikim, for the second time. He hasn't paid attention to me. Hasn't listened to me. Vayichar l'Shmuel. Obviously, Shmuel is upset. Vayazeik el Adonai kol alayla. But nonetheless, he does daven for Shaul, because at this point it seems that Shmuel doesn't really understand how grave Shaul's mistake was. Remember, in the last time in which Shmuel actually calls out Shaul, Hashem doesn't say to Shmuel, "Go and tell him." Shmuel says it from his own ratzon. Right? If you look back at the psukim over there, you'll see that Shmuel actually is the active one. And he goes and he says, "Why didn't you wait for me, Hashem Yirach?" Hashem didn't tell Shmuel to say, "Wait for him." Right? But over here, there's dafka reaction, which is like a little bit tamua, is a little bit questionable, which is like, why is Shmuel davening if it's so bad? So the questions which we have to clarify is, what is so bad about what Shaul did? What was it that he did? And why is Shmuel still davening? Why is this misunderstanding? Clearly, it's really bad for Hashem, whatever happened. Yeah.
So, like, prior to him going, you know, when Shmuel gives Shaul the instruction, he tells him, below Simchol, below Sachmol Allah. Right. So, with this pre-context of below, it seems like it is mercy.
Right,
when you take it in that context, and then we're using the same exact lashon.
Right, it's the same lashon.
Right, so
chinami.
There's some maybe.
But then you have
mercy.
Right.
So, of course, like when we're saying Ramara, it's like, oh, how could he have mercy? He just killed 600,000 people.
Right.
But then there's this concept of, you know, the Muhammad's mitzvah, and then like, I did what I could. But then there's, you know, the moral conflict where it turns
out. Yeah, it's like, one guy, he's like, and he, Agag was like, was the worst of them all.
Not to like psychoanalyze, but to do it from, at least if I was Shaul.
Right.
I was just in war. When you're in war, your adrenaline's pumping, you're all you know, all you have on your mind is this one-track mind. If I'm in a war right now, yeah. and I have that war state of mind. You could be, when you're getting basketball, it doesn't matter who you're with. Right. You're not. You're no one's friend on the court.
Right. But then after
you step off the court, right. and what happens? Right. You have Agog with you because you're ready to kill him. You're right. planning at that moment. Well, I'm going to kill him later.
Right.
You step off the court. The guys, you realize he's a breathing thing,
right?
You just went into war, but now you had that cool down period.
I hear.
That's Mola Love. He had that little air, I guess you could say, that literally made him realize, let's have mercy. He's equally a person than I am.
Yeah, but that...
Mercy
that,
on the sheep.
Yeah, because the war's over.
Well,
so we're gonna have to see. I definitely hear what you're saying, and beyond the psychological analysis, which I think is spot on in some sense. I think also the sachmo lo sachmo alav. It does sound like there is this chemla, but we'll try to develop something, and we'll see how it fits because it just doesn't seem. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Just doesn't, I don't know. Zelo nichnasli
ad hasof. I think that's a good point, though, that it says, V'yachmo shol ba'am, al-agam ba'al meita v'atzon, they had mercy on sheep, they killed sheep all day.
Right.
That's a pretty sheep.
So we'll have to see. Okay, let's continue a little bit, and then we'll see. V'yashkem Shmuel likra sha'ul ba'bokir. V'yugad l'shmuel le'mor b'shul ha'karmela. So Shmuel's going to look for Shaul, and he hears, oh, Shaul's coming from the Carmel. Vine mitziv lo yad. And what is Shaul doing in Carmel? He made this andarta for himself. An andarta.
A what?
Mitziv lo yad. An andarta is not an English word?
I don't think so.
Really? Oh, gosh. It's like yad l'shir. There's a monument. Yad Vashem. Okay, he made mitziv lo yad. I guess in Hebrew it's called an andarta, whatever. Either way, essentially it's like it's a place where you're memorializing something, not necessarily in a bad sense. What's the word?
Monument?
No, it's not a monument because a monument uses like a bad thing, right?
No, there's an MLK monument.
It's like a statue. It could be like it's a statue. It could be that it's like some sort of like. Right, we got rid of Amalek. Okay, let's continue. Vayisov vayavor vayirah Gilgal. But now he's returning. Now what's Shaul, what is he making this yad for? Vavo Shmuel Shaul vayomer l'Shaul baruch atah Adonai hakimosi esvar Adonai. Shaul meets him and he says, I did exactly what God wanted. Vayomer Shmuel umeh kol hatzon hazeh be'ozni. And what is this? What is the sheep that I hear in the background? V'kol ha'bakar asher anochi shomea, and all the cows that I hear, and all the manure that I smell. What is all of that? V'yomer Shaul, Mamalek ki hevyum. Like we brought it from Amalek. Asher chamal ha'am al meitav hatzon. So what does he do? He blames the people. It was their fault. They were chomel al mitav hatzon. Now, once again, the chamal over here just doesn't make any sense. You're not like you said. We kill sheep for food literally every single day, and it's dafka the mitav hatzon. What, they were like the really cute sheep? Is that really what it was? No, obviously it's not. It's obviously a financial issue. It's a fine.
Right. They had mercy on them, so they could kill them like later.
Oh, vabakar laman. And not only that, but Shaul says, "Bechlal, you think this is an issue? This is a good gesture. This is a good gesture. What I'm doing. This is amazing." Ves hayotera charanu. But the rest of them, we killed the rest of them. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. You don't think he's blaming the people?
No, he still thinks what he did was good. Like,
okay. All right. It could be. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. Herif. Be quiet. Enough. Herif. Vagidolach is asher diber Adonai Eli halayla. Vayomer lo daber. So, I'm going to tell you what God said. You can give me all these tirutz in the world, but this is what God has to say. Vayomer Shmuel. Halo im katon ata be'inecha. Roshifte Yisrael ata. If you're this small in your own eyes, you're the king. What's the tochecha? Shaul is saying, it wasn't my fault. It's like the people, they said, like, we want to bring a korban. So I listened to them. Who are you? You're the king. Rosh Shiftei Yisrael Atah. Vayimshachacha Adonai Lamelech Al Yisrael. Hashem made you king. Vayimshachacha Adonai Baderech. Vayomer Lach. Vecheramta Es Achatayim Es Amalek V'nilchamta Bo Ad Kalosam Osam. Hashem said, destroy everything, everyone. V'lama Lo Shamata B'kol Adonai. Vatatis Ashalal. Vatas Hara B'inei Adonai. You took from the booty, you took from the shalal. So already from Hashem's tochecha, we start hearing that the motivation of Shaul is vatat et shalal. It's not vayachmol. It's vatat et shalal. And tat et shalal essentially means that there was some sort of interest here. And if we could just develop for a second, and I'm not sure that we're going to finish the parak today, but we're going to break it a little bit because we have Chazara. Let's try to develop for a second why exactly Shaul would want to keep the king alive. It sounds like there's two motivations going on. It sounds like there's a financial motivation which is going on, which in Achinami, Shaul probably is not really interested in keeping the Meitav Hatzon, meaning like essentially like he has all the money in the world. He doesn't really need this Meitav Hatzon. And he also says, oh, maybe it's also for a korban, but it doesn't really sound, honest. Vatat es hashalal could be, and one second, Yamin, could be that we've seen in other, in Sefer Shoftim, that the king was dafka left alive. Some kings were dafka left alive. Which king was dafka left alive? Does anyone remember something? Something with the...
Eglon was killed.
Not Eglon. Right? The... What does he do? He cuts off the thumbs of the king, and he leaves them alive. Why?
To show that
kilo anachnu kavashnu, and that king, I'm being mashpil that king. I'm embarrassing that king, and that puts me up. It's like I'm a powerful king. I'm a powerful. That was a gesture of power amongst kings. When you embarrass the other king, you've destroyed the entire people. Let's take a look at another place, right? It happened to the Jews every single time we went into Galus, right? What ends up happening, right? Sancheriv comes, he takes a king, right? Later on, when Nebuchadnezzar comes, he takes a king, takes two kings. There's a king that's in Bavel for 37 years, right? Until later on in history. It was an act of we're in charge, and b'chever, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shaul. So it could be that Shaul wanted to do this for the betterment of Am Yisrael, that he wanted to show that we're strong, we have power, or you could explain it lirato, that Hidavka wanted his own koach. But one way or another, however you break it down, it's not what God said. And it's that simple. It's that simple. Hashem didn't say to do this. So you go ahead and you start making your own cheshbonos. That's not what a king is all about. The king needs to have the Sefer Torah because that needs to be his guiding factor. And if it's not, you're not going to be the king. Yeah.
Are we saying that Shaul's lying when he says beyond it?
When Adam and Chava, they eat from the tree. So what's the lesson over there? Go to Adam. What does Adam say? It was Chava. What does Chava say? It was the Nachash. The Nachash already at that point doesn't say anything. But it's just like human nature. Like, you never want to, like, take the blame on yourself.
Isn't the most likely scenario what actually happened to that? Shul probably did not take any spoils. But the point of why Shmuel says, you know, you're this big, high, mighty king. Why didn't you do anything about it? It's because he was responsible to control the nation.
Right. And he didn't. Right.
That's really what it is.
Right.
I don't know if there's a whole...
You could say that also.
And this whole idea of what we're saying now is more, I think, related to the king.
Right, right. I'm saying you could...
I think it's two separate issues, the king and the spoils.
Right.
I agree. I think that they're also the same, like, underlying reason, which is that
Shaul the whole time is looking for like approval. He's always been scared of what people think about him.
Right.
So it's possible that if everyone starts saying like, "Oh, look at these like awesome cattle that we want, like give these great money for us," and they don't necessarily care so much about keeping each other's rules, so Shaul's too reluctant to like actually go against them and like you know, force them to do something. And then same thing with him with Agag. He's trying to show that he's like a powerful king. Like his old thing is always trying to like.
Right, it's always this balance between his ego and him trying to
and
hide
why,
away.
That's why
he's trying to say,
like, oh, you think you're, like, you know, you're supposed to, like, no, you got to
right.
be a leader.
I think you're right in the sense that I think all of you guys are right in that the underlining issue here is that he isn't the ideal leader. Now, I think this is really important also for just, like, our you know, just even modern thinking and thinking of, like, politics and the way that we critique leaders, the Torah is very critical of leaders. Leadership is really, really difficult. It's really, really hard, right? The only, our best leader the Torah was critical of, right? Right? Moshe, David, some of the greatest leaders, none of our leaders went by without critique. However, the question was how built are you and how close are you going to stay to that Dvar Hashem? And in two big instances already, Shaul doesn't do it. Well, let's just finish off with two more minutes that we have and let's see the rest of the conversation. So Shaul says again, I did exactly what God told me. So once again, he doesn't say anything new. He just repeats that same tirutz.
But no, he does.
Why?
He has a big
chedesh
here. He says, I did what
he
told me to do.
What does he say?
The path that you set for me. Right?
But
he seems that like he's not like being remorseful or anything. Like,
he thinks he's
right. He really right, exactly. He's saying the same exact thing. And it could be you're playing into this nikuda is that he really thinks that he was right, and that could be the biggest issue. Right? And then Shmuel says, "Hachefetz la'Adonai ba'olosu zvachim kishmoa b'kol Adonai." This is the first of the Nevi'im that we see that this theme is going to repeat itself so many times throughout Tanakh. It's not about the korban. It's not about the korban. You bring a stolen korban. It's not about that. It's about listening to God. It's much better to listen. Lakshiv ki chatas kesem meri vaven utrafim chavtzer. Just like you were Moes, you didn't listen. So Kesh Baruch Hu also Vaymascha Mimelech. Vayomer Shaul, and let's see if he's Mekabel the Din. Vayomer Shaul El Shmuel Chatasi. Finally, he says Chatasi. Ki avarti es pi Adonai vesvarecha ki aresi es ha'am veshma bekolam. I was scared of the people, and therefore I listened. And he's saying, you know what? I was scared. That's the issue. I was scared, right? Vata sana es chatasi v'shuv imi v'shtachaveh l'Adonai. But he says, "Please come back with me." Do I have permission to go with like 3-4 minutes over? Yeah. He says, "Please just come back with me," because if Shmuel doesn't come back to the camp, it's going to be embarrassing for Shaul. So, on one hand, he's saying chatasi. But it's like built into his tshuva, there's like a term to this tshuva, right? Is that please come back with me. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, lo ashuv imach. I'm not coming back with you. You're not going to be the king. You're not going to be the future king. Ki ma'aseh svar Adonai ve'masacha Adonai miyos melech al Yisrael. Vayiso Shmuel aleches. Shmuel walks away to run to go away from Shaul. Vayichazek beknaf me'ilo vayikara. The symbolicity over here is amazing. Who tears whose garment? It's not so clear, right? There's a machlokas over here. There's a machlokas in the Gemara also. Someone tears someone's coat, and obviously he says, "Vayomer Lav Shmuel Kara Adonai Es Mamachos Yisrael Me'alecha Hayom Utsanal Reecha Atov Mimecha." Just like symbolically, you tore my coat, or I tore your coat, so too Hashem tore the malchus away from you and is going to give it to someone better than you. We see this one more time, or really two more times throughout Tanakh. One more time with who? David tears Shaul's garment when he could have killed him later on. And if you think about the significance over here, it's amazing. All right, that same beged he tears, and David gets that. David also gets that beged. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'leinachem ki lo adam hu linachem. Hashem is Netzach Yisrael. He's not going to go back on his word. Vayomer chatasi, he says, please, I've sinned. Atah kabdeni na neged ziknei ami v'neged Yisrael. Please respect me. Give me the respect that I'm due. V'shuvi mi v'yishtachavisi l'adonai elahacha. Please. V'yashu Shmuel achrei Shaul. Shmuel finally gives in. V'yishtachu Shaul l'adonai. So he says, first thing he gets here, bring Agag. So Agag says, oh, that's it. Death time has come. Just like your sword has widowed and orphaned so many mothers and children and parents, so too your mother will mourn you. Vaisha save Shmuel el es Agag fnei Adonai beGilgal. He cuts off his head.
How wasn't she
killed? She was killed also, but it's a good question.
I think it's just like poetry.
Yeah, I think that's what it is also, but I never thought about that.
Wait.
She should be dead also. Hold on, let's just finish this. Everyone goes home. Shmuel is not going to see Shaul until the day he dies. Kisabel Shmuel el Shaul Vadunai Nicham Kim Licha Shaul al Yisrael. This was difficult. Imagine for Shmuel. Shmuel went through all this agmas nefesh about Bechlal. He wasn't so happy with the idea of a king, and finally gives into it, and he gives this, and he's mamlich shol, and look what it's exactly what he didn't want to happen. So it was very difficult for him. All right, shkorach guys.